They came like secrets in the night. The Cake Family. Emma Alabama Lane Cake. Benjamin Lord Baltimore Cake. Jody Traditional Angel Food Cake. Van Chocolate Layer Cake. Roger Black Forest Cake. And Gordon Ridiculously Easy No Need Sticky Buns Cake. Their parents were with them, of course. Leo Meyer Lemon Cake. Arluin Hummingbird Spice Cake. Somehow there were also four dogs. Thank goodness there was a suitcase rack on top of the car and bicycle racks front and back. The Cake Family had driven across the miles with the windows down, and everyone's hair was whisked to a froth. The night air smelled like honeysuckle. A wispy fog rolled over and around the town as the cakes arrived. It played leapfrog with the muggy summer air, just as that clever cake fog always did. And then a cooler breeze, soft and snappy, began to dispatch the fog, just as it always did. The breeze tickled the leaves of the majestic silver maple tree behind the post office on Main Street. Leo Cake turned the Ford Econoline onto the sandy lane that ran behind the post office and Miss Maddie's store. Their new bakery space, an imposing old structure, sat between those two buildings. The radio was playing King of the Road. King Leo Cake parked the car under the silver maple and leaned his forehead against the steering wheel. "We're here," he said in a weary, dusty, long-time traveling voice. The car began to boil with boys trying to be the first to escape.
"Out of my way, bird brains,"
shouted 12-year-old Ben. Lord Baltimore, indeed. The boys never noticed anything. Did they even notice they were moving their entire lives across the country again? Emmeline Cake wondered. She was the only one, it seemed, who wanted to stay in one place.
"Already?"
she'd asked her mother when the packing had begun once again.
"We go when it's time," said Arluin. "You know that."
"I know that I've moved 7 times that I can remember," said Emma, "and more times that I can't."
"We suit up and we show up, Emma,"
Leo Cake had told his daughter, with the delight in his voice that new beginnings always brought him. What was different this time for Leo was 2 lines of a poem that had floated into his head as they'd begun their trip. "Day by day and night by night we were together. All else has long been forgotten by me."
"Yes,"
he had answered the poem.
Then, "No, I don't remember."
Now Emma's brothers and the dogs tumbled to the ground, a tangle of arms and legs stumbling over one another, glad to be free, free, free of their confinement and squashedness. Emma lingered in the space their absence created and stared at a knothole in the silver maple tree. Inside the knothole was a sliver of pink. A piece of paper? A secret note? She wanted to touch it. A bright orange moon shellacked the night. The boys were giddy with the happiness that comes with finally arriving. Without speaking of it, which was how it usually worked, they had a plan. They raced across the sandy lane, turned their backs to Emma and their parents, and challenged one another to a peeing contest. Ben, always the ringleader, shouted,
"Go!"
"Boys," called Arluin, "mind your manners. There's a bathroom upstairs."
"Oh, Mom,"
whined Roger, only 7.
"We couldn't wait."
Emma, who was used to her brother's shenanigans, got quietly out of the car and walked a few soft steps to the tree. The moonlight slid over her straight-as-a-stick brown hair and highlighted the spray of freckles across her nose.